Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, it's an important destination, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I want to start the broadcast today by broaching a word, and that word is tolerance, and you'll see why in just a moment. Today, tolerance is being redefined to mean that all views are equally valid and that all lifestyles are equally appropriate. So the notion that Jesus is the only way to God is being vilified. It is thought of as the epitome of intolerance. To say that all views are equally valid sounds so tolerant. However, in reality, it's a contradiction in terms. If, in fact, all views are equally valid, then the Christian view must be valid. And the Christian view, of course, holds that not all views are equally valid. And therefore, the redefinition of tolerance in our culture is, well, it's a self-refuting proposition. Not only that, we do not tolerate people with whom we agree. We quite evidently tolerate people with whom we disagree. So, if all views are equally valid, there'd be no need for tolerance at all. Let me make another point, and that is today's redefinition of tolerance leaves no room for objective moral judgments. So you can have a modern terrorist deemed as virtuous as a Mother Teresa. And as such, the moral basis for resolving international disputes and for condemning practices like genocide or, well, think about the oppression of women or child prostitution, is being seriously compromised. So in light of its philosophically fatal features, Christians today must reject tolerance, which is today's version of tolerance, so popularly communicated in the media, and revive what is true tolerance. Because true tolerance demands that despite our differences, we treat every person we meet with the dignity and respect due them as one created in the image of God. True tolerance does not preclude proclaiming the truth, but it does mandate that we do it with gentleness and with respect. And in a world that is increasingly intolerant of Christianity, Christians must exemplify tolerance without ever sacrificing the truth. Now, the reason I bring this up is that we need to treat people with dignity and with respect because they're created in the image and likeness of God. That means all people. But our culture has devolved to a crassness that, quite frankly, is intolerable. It is simply not part and parcel of a civilized society. And perhaps the greatest evidence of that came out at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where they feature one of the most crude and crass people that I've ever encountered. In fact, very, very difficult to listen to her speak for any length of time. But the White House correspondents, they not only listened to her speak, but they chortled lustily as she spoke. Her name, of course, is Michelle Wolf, and she had this to say. Again, this is the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Mike Pence is also very anti-choice. He thinks abortion is murder, which, first of all, don't knock it till you try it. And when you do try it, really knock it. You know, you gotta get that baby out of there. And yeah, sure, you can groan all you want. I know a lot of you are very anti-abortion, you know, unless it's the one you got for your secret mistress. It's fun how values can waver.
So a couple of things you want to note about that. First is all of the laughter in the background. It's raucous. And then the content of what she's communicating. She's saying that you don't want to get President Trump impeached because then you end up with President Mike Pence. And that would be a horrifying proposition. Why? Because Mike Pence thinks abortion is murder. So what should we think as Christians about that? Well, we should immediately think that in an age of scientific enlightenment, of course abortion is murder. Of course Mike Pence is correct in thinking that abortion is murder. And that is not a joke. What is a reality is that human life begins at conception. And if that's true, it logically follows that abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. But now the debate has shifted. Now, in an age of scientific enlightenment, most people, Michelle Wolf excepted, most people recognize that when a woman is pregnant, she is pregnant with a human being. The evidence is so conclusive that most enlightened people don't even debate that anymore. However, they've now shifted the argument to saying, yes, it is a human being, but no, it doesn't have the rights of a person. And so the debate becomes whether that human being deserves to live, yes or no. To be biologically human, therefore, is a scientific fact, but as long as the preborn child is deemed not to be a person, it becomes this disposable piece of matter. And we've seen that even with the Elfie Evans case, the state now determining whether or not a life has value. It's not even God saying that this child is born in his image and likeness. It's not the parents, it is the state. So the state has usurped a prerogative that is the prerogative of God alone and that was delegated by God to the parents. The law of the United Kingdom is in desperate need of revision. The lives of radical dependence and fragility are worth living, even though they are dependent and fragile. In fact, we ought to be protecting that kind of life. And of course, the jokes on abortion are revealing in so many respects. Here you have not even the Pope, the Italian government, or the Rome-based Baby Jesus Pediatric Hospital able to rescue Elfie. And as a result of that, Elfie has died. And in the third portion of the broadcast today, I want to, with the quote of the day, share something with you that Elfie's mother wrote. It's very, very touching. I don't want to leave this hanging. I want to talk a little more about it because abortion is painful. It's painful on many, many levels. But we can say with certainty that it's painful to a preborn child because it involves burning and smothering and dismembering and crushing. In other words, abortion involves killing. And even Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, acknowledged that point when she said famously that the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill that infant member. And that killing is being obfuscated by clever code words. They're the opium of the pro-abortion lobby, and they're specifically designed to dull human sensibilities to the horrors of what is taking place every single day. By the thousands around the world, we can say the millions are an intolerable number. Such killings are being positively repositioned as pro-choice prerogatives. That's, of course, why you had everybody laughing at the correspondence dinner. The preborn children that are terminated are now indelicately, well, they're rendered fetuses, and pro-life advocates are profoundly recast as social extremists. So again, getting back to this issue of tolerance, it's the first and greatest commandment of the pro-abortion lobby. And you remember the refrain, it's repeated over and over again, don't like an abortion? Well, don't have one. Just don't impose your morality on me. And at first blush, even if it's said in a hostile fashion, the mantra sounds tolerant. However, imagine someone applying the same kind of mantra to rape. Don't like rape? Don't rape anybody. Just don't impose your antiquated morality on me. So the point here is tolerance with respect to personal relationship is always a virtue, but tolerance with respect to truth is a travesty. Non-personhood has become the subtlest of all contemporary pro-abortion arguments. Here you have the argument that the fetus is not a person. It is a human being, but it's not a person and does not deserve the respect of a person created in the image and likeness of God. That's the basic argument. In reality, we are conceived not only with all the earmarks of biological life, but we're persons. We're persons created by God with eternity etched in our hearts. Both the physical and the non-physical aspects of humanity are present at the moment of conception. I mean, when you think about this, when a woman gives birth, she doesn't just give birth to a physical reality, a body. A woman gives birth to a body-soul unity. Both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of humanity are present in that preborn child. Not fetus, but preborn child. Of course, multiplied millions of preborn children continue to be sacrificed on the altar of abortion. And the reason I bring this up, and hopefully with a lot of passion, is to be silent or uninformed in an age of scientific enlightenment is to be complicit in the carnage. This is why we are equipping people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Remember, as I was talking about, the argument keeps shifting. So you need to be aware of where the argument's going. So you get to a point of saying, how can anybody abort a human being? Well, because the argument has shifted from the human being to personhood. And the reality now is that society is saying the human being is not a person until we deem that human being to be a person. And that human being is not a person with value until we say that human being is a person with value. So if we say a Down syndrome baby does not have value, the state is making a determination about the quality of a person's life and whether that person has the right to continue to exist on the planet. That's where we're going. So we need to know how to refute those arguments, and that's what we're providing for you among so many other benefits at the Christian Research Institute, and it's also why we ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. I have never been so appalled by the crassness of our culture and the inability of Christians to penetrate the crust of crassness. That we need to be about our Father's business. Now is the time. We can't do anything about those people that were aborted a generation ago or will be aborted, quite frankly, in the next generation, but we can act now. And I'm asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back with answers to your questions in just a few moments. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
In the DVD titled C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, featuring the brilliant acting of Max McLean, discover how the Hound of Heaven pursued Lewis relentlessly until he finally gave in, only to become the most influential Christian writer of the 20th century. To receive your copy of the DVD C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Addressing some of the most difficult issues we face in our day-to-day lives, C.S. Lewis's timeless words provide an unparalleled path to greater spiritual understanding. Considered by many to be his most moving address, The Weight of Glory extols a compassionate vision of Christianity and compelling discussions on forgiveness and faith. The Weight of Glory is a compilation of addresses delivered by Lewis during World War II, offering deep insights into the hope Christianity has to offer in the midst of immense suffering and uncertainty. To receive your copy of The Weight of Glory by C.S. Lewis, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. After seeing Max McLean play the part of C.S. Lewis in the live stage performance of The Most Reluctant Convert, Hank Hanegraaff said, "Max McLean has done some very significant things in his life, but if portraying C.S. Lewis were the only thing he'd ever done, his life would have been extraordinarily worthwhile." To receive your copy of the DVD C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. To the phone lines, Tom in Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Mine was more of a comment than it is a question. So when people talk to me about this subject, I always tell them, as a Christian, I am very pro-choice. I think that every defenseless, unborn child has the right to choose life. And that choice is taken away from them when they're aborted. And that choice is taken away from them violently. And if you didn't abort the child would never choose to self-terminate.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. If the child had a voice in the matter, the child would not choose to self-terminate. That's right. I mean, and I think that's the viewpoint that all of us should have, that our lives are infinitely valuable because we're created in the image and likeness of God, and God alone has the prerogative to take our lives. He is the one that chooses when we live and when we die. And when we take the prerogative of God into our hands, we are doing a blasphemous thing and a very, very terrifying thing, I might add as well, because God cares deeply about the crowning jewels of his creation.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Hank.
You're welcome. And you think about how deeply our Heavenly Father cares about the crowning jewels of his creation. He even continues to sustain us in existence if we choose to live apart from him in the life that is to come, meaning that God does not arbitrarily rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, even if we choose not to accept his goodness, his glory, and his grace. Before I go to another caller, on Friday's Bible Answer Man broadcast, I had a lengthy discussion with a lady named Cheryl about generational curses, ran out of time, wasn't able to take a call from Bob, who's listening in Bethesda, Maryland. Be hanging on for a long period of time. So let me answer his call quickly. He was asking about the Lord Jesus Christ in his return and how we'll keep from sinning in the new heavens and the new earth. If we sin now, how do we know we're not going to sin in paradise? And my answer, Bob, is simply that we can be absolutely certain that we will not sin in heaven because of what the Scriptures teach. Christ's ultimate purpose is for his bride to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. And while in the present we are bombarded by the temptations of the world, the flesh, and of course the devil, in paradise restored, the problem of sin and Satan will forever be resolved. In heaven we will be actualized in righteousness as well, free to be what God made us to be, far from robbing us of freedom. That actualization is the quintessence of freedom. We freely give up the freedom to sin in exchange for freedom from sin. So in his infinite wisdom, the Holy Spirit inspired the human authors of Scripture to illustrate the faithful relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church through the analogy of marriage. So you see that the truly faithful, the truly devoted husband is not afraid to cheat on his wife. He simply can't bring himself to cheat on her. His love for her renders such duplicity unthinkable. We do not consider that husband to be less free than the one who is capable of unfaithfulness. Of course we don't. The faithful husband, like the unfaithful one, is truly free to experience the great joy and pleasure of uninhibited intimacy and union with his wife. And of course, Jesus Christ is the singularly sinless and freely faithful groom. And in heaven, the church will be his holy and blameless bride, a bride freed forever from enslavement to sin, freed to enter through the narrow gate, free to enjoy paradise restored. So again, we can be absolutely certain that we will not sin in heaven because that's what the Bible says. We now have temptations, then we will not have temptations. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in San Bernardino, California. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Hank. I sure was glad to hear that your latest blood test was good.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm reading your book, Muslim, and I'm really enjoying it. And as I'm looking at Muhammad's night ride on Barak, and I'm thinking, oh, that's baloney, it then hits me, how then is what someone else may say is...
You're kind of cutting out, Kevin. I might have lost Kevin. I'm not sure. But anyway, I think the essence of the question is, if that's baloney, how do we know other things, let's say things that we read in the Bible, are not baloney? And I would say the answer to that question is you have to test the authenticity of the document that you're reading. And in the case of the Bible, you can demonstrate that it is a reliable source for life and practice, and you do that in a lot of different ways. You can do that through the manuscript evidence. You can do that through archaeological evidence. You can do that through prophecy, which is a great attestation that what the Bible is saying is absolutely true. In fact, when you start looking at not only prophecies like Jesus Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem, but when you look at prophecies that have a type and an antitype, it is simply stunning how the Bible demonstrates itself to be reliable. And I make that contrast between the Quran as not reliable, it's replete with factual errors, it's replete with faulty ethics and feigned eloquence, whereas the Bible is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Again, I make that point pretty clear in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I grew up reading and studying Scofield Bible, and of course, my mind is... goes that way when we're thinking about end times and prophecy and that sort of thing. And there's so many, prophets on television today, John Hagee for one, you know, always doomsday guys. And I wonder if I could just get you to expound a little bit on what's your thinking on the end times? Where are we? Are we close? Are these things to be believed, or can you help me out here?
What things are you specifically referring to when you say, are those things to be believed?
Well, what's going on with Israel and all of the atrocities that we're hearing about, earthquakes, all of the natural disasters, and every time something like that happens, some doomsday prophet on television starts talking about, you know, the Lord's coming back soon because of all of this happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the deal. We don't know. The Bible simply does not tell us when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. The Bible only tells us that he will return. And therefore, we prepare as though his coming is a long ways off, and we are prepared as though he might come in the next millisecond. So the idea that somehow or other you can correlate events that are happening in the Middle East with the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is simply false. We can't. There's no way in which we can know when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to return. If you were living at the time of the Black Death, you would most certainly think this is the end. If you were, let's say, in Turkey or Greece during the Armenian genocide around the time of World War I, and women were carrying baskets of their loved ones, all they had is the heads in the baskets, and they're carrying one basket after another, and you see this genocide that reaches to millions of people, you'd say, this has to be the end of the world. It's a world war that eventually is upon us. You have mass genocide of people. Has to be the end. Earthquakes have been with us forever. In fact, the evidence probably is that earthquake activity in the present is slowing down. The reason that we hear about earthquakes more today is because we have a 24/7 news cycle, and every time there is an earthquake, it becomes a major focus in the news. So you can't correlate the events with the end of the world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. So rather than trying to be a prophecy pundit and demonstrating that you're going to be wrong 100% of the time, as all these prophecy pundits are, far better that we are salt and light in the culture, not the laughingstock of the culture, but salt and light in the culture. Transformational agents in the culture. All we're doing now is we're sort of like armchair quarterbacks sitting back and looking at the horrors of the culture and saying, isn't this terrible? When we ought to be equipping Christians to think and live Christianly. When we do that, now we become a leavening force in the culture, and the culture in the process is changed. This is, by the way, why I'm so passionate about the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It is teaching Christians to live and think Christianly, to live within the context of a biblical worldview, to know what that entails, so that when you have GQ mocking the Bible as an irrelevant book, one of the most overrated books of all time, you have a way of demonstrating that the Bible is an authentic authority. In fact, that you cannot do jurisprudence properly, you cannot appreciate art and science properly without understanding a biblical worldview, because much of the motif comes from the Bible. So people are mocking the Bible without ever reading the Bible. And you can't figure out what's going on in Western civilization without reading Shakespeare as well. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, the Bible has a completely different ethic. It is the ethic that undergirds the mores and the ethos of Western civilization, and therefore we need to become intimately acquainted with our Bibles, with a Christian worldview, and then from that, ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. That is why. Once again, I'm asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Right back with a quote of the day.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis famously described himself as the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. As such, there's no better title for a show telling the story of his conversion than C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Max MacLean, a masterful storyteller, portrays Lewis perfectly, telling the story of how one man went from being the most reluctant convert to one of the most influential Christians of our time. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the DVD, C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also visit us online at equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Using C.S. Lewis's own words, award-winning actor Max MacLean inhabits Lewis to take us on his rigorous journey from hard-boiled atheist to the most reluctant convert in all England. To receive the DVD C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day is in concert with the death of Alfie Evans. He died on the 28th, just a couple of days ago. And according to the United Kingdom Court's interpretation of the Children's Act of 1989, a life of permanent disability and dependency, whether long or short, is simply not worth living. Obviously, Pope Francis did not agree. All the people that were trying to help within the Italian government did not agree. Other governments were offering support and the finances to support the life of Alfie Evans, but he is now no longer with us. And his mother, Kate James, she wrote something that was incredibly touching to me, and therefore I'm making this the quote of the day. It starts off, "We love you, Alfie. Mommy, please don't cry now, for I must go to sleep. I'll be beside you always to dry the tears you weep. Daddy, Please be strong now. It's time for me to rest. The three of us together, Dad, we fought. We done our best. You took my fight to everyone. The courts, the queen, the pope. While still caring for your baby, you never give up hope. And now the pain bears heavy as the time has come to part. Though you no longer hold me in your arms, I'll live on in your heart. For the good Lord, he has called me to sit there by his side, watching over both of you with never-ending pride. A last message to my army. Please hold your loved ones tight, for no one's time is promised. Now, I must say goodnight. And he did have an army of people that were rooting for him, because that army recognized that Alfie was a person who deserved to live, that all those Down syndrome babies all over the world that some governments are proudly eradicating, Iceland going so far as to say that we're now almost 100% Down free. We almost got all of them boasting about the fact that this is a good thing, because the quality of life of a Down syndrome baby, in their view, is simply not meeting the standard that the state has determined it ought to meet. In this context, the army has made their voice heard. And quite frankly, I'm proud of so many people that have voiced their concern publicly. I've read about this in so many different streams on the web, in articles. This has become a major issue, and it's been brought to the forefront of our consciousness. And it has for a reason. The reason is, once again, that life is precious, that we have intrinsic worth, because we are not mere animals. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And those rights come from the fact that our Creator is God, and we are created in the image and likeness of God. And so the crass way in which society deals with the death of persons that they think don't deserve to live, whether it's an Elfie or a preborn child, is something that we must stand against. You know, Francis Schaeffer, and I've mentioned this many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, he said this would be the watershed issue of our day. And he's proved to be prophetic. It is indeed the watershed issue of our day. We're choosing our convenience in many, many different ways over life. And this has many, many different ramifications, but it's all part and parcel of a sexual revolution. A sexual revolution where we know what is right intuitively, but we don't want to do what is right. The reason we don't want to do what is right is because if we do what is right, it will interfere with our sexual pleasures. And this is, and I quoted Thomas Huxley the other day, and Aldous Huxley, and all of those who were saying back in the time of Darwin. Darwin's theory really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I wanted to believe it nonetheless. It didn't matter whether it was true or not true. I wanted to believe it, because if it were true, and if I could make a case for it, now I have disposed of God and I can live within the parameters that I myself set forth to live within. So we rule God out of existence, and it becomes nothing. As I said before, quoting, I think it was Huxley, Aldous Huxley, but I'm not sure who it was. It becomes nothing more than the faint and disappearing smile, the cosmic Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. And with God out of existence, we've defined him out of existence. although he's very, very real, we now can live by our own mores, by our own ethos. And what you end up having is a crass, corrupted culture in which life is no longer valued. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Preston in Bogota, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Preston.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My question is, what is your opinion on the New Apostolic Reformation, the ministry led by Chuck Pierce, offshoot of IHOP KC, Mike Bickle?
Yeah, I think it's all quite a travesty, quite frankly. And the reason I think it's a travesty is because these prophets and apostles are saying that they are, quite frankly, greater than the prophets and apostles through whom we have the Bible. That if those prophets and apostles were alive today, they'd be standing in line trying to get the autographs of the new apostles, because the new apostles are going to be able to do in our generation much more than the old apostles did. And so the braggadocio of these prophets and apostles, quite stunning. And they are usurping a prerogative that is simply outside of a biblical worldview. So, I'm not making a big issue out of the word prophet and apostle, because the meanings are the real issue. The meaning you pour into the words are the real issue. Apostle can be used in the sense of a church planter, can be used in the sense of a missionary or a pastor of pastors. A prophet can be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision. In that sense, I suppose we're all prophets, because we are to exhort and encourage and equip the body of Christ in a prophetic way. But the words apostle and prophet should never be used in a sense that is synonymous with first century apostles like John or Old Testament prophets like Jeremiah. These were people whose authority cannot be questioned, or who receive actual revelations, and those kinds of people simply do not exist today. Again, I'm making sure that we use the terms properly, and they're not using the terms in the sense that they should be used.
Gotcha. All right. I appreciate it, Hank. I got a couple of family members who are caught up in a church that is associated with them, so trying to figure out how to navigate those relationships. But thanks for your answer. That actually sheds a lot of light.
You got it. And we did an article in the Christian Research Journal on Mike Bickle and the International House of Prayer. So that might be interesting to you as well. I think you can find it on the web at equip.org. But here you have a person who firmly claims that we can know the specific season of the return of Christ, and boldly tells his followers that he believes the end of the world will unfold in this generation. Whether or not it does, he doesn't know, but he's telling people that he does know, and that these prophets and apostles are an elite forerunner movement within the church that are equipping the body for this second coming of Christ in our generation. And he envisions the end-time forerunner church as an advanced apostolic movement. They will experience greater things, in his view, than the apostles and prophets of the Bible did. And he emphasizes that during the end times, the miracles that Moses performed in the Bible, the miracles in the book of Acts, will be multiplied on a global level as the praying church looses God's judgments on earth. Well, I'm all for miracles, but I'm not so keen about embellishments, particularly when you're saying that the end time forerunner apostles in this generation are going to supersede the biblical prophets and apostles. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in White Rock, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, John.
Hello. Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Good day. Oh, I got you. Good. Okay. Yeah, the little phone thing.
Yeah, basically, an update on the Vineyard movement, because you were just talking about Mike Bickle, and I swore that I heard that name in the Vineyard circle.
Well, that's right. Mike Bickle was involved in the Vineyard movement, and the Vineyard movement had some pretty ironic and unfortunate permutations, including the Toronto Blessing and much more. And I actually wrote an entire book about this called Counterfeit Revival, which is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. John Wimber, in a message on supernatural healing, actually expressed concern that evangelical Christians today are placing far too much emphasis on Scripture. He said that evangelicals all over the world are worshiping the book. They have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is now replaced with the Holy Book. And, you know, it's sort of a sad statement on his part, where he said they took the workings of the Holy Spirit and placed it in a book. Well, the Holy Spirit did inspire the Bible. So to make some kind of a dichotomy between the two, as though one is unimportant, the other is important. I mean, there's nothing more important than the nature of God. But God condescended to give us, through the inspiration of the Spirit, a book by which we can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. The battle is raging. It is ever more fierce, and more soldiers need to join the army. You can join us at equip.org. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the DVD, C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Addressing some of the most difficult issues we face in our day-to-day lives, C.S. Lewis's timeless words provide an unparalleled path to greater spiritual understanding. Considered by many to be his most moving address, The Weight of Glory extols a compassionate vision of Christianity and compelling discussions on forgiveness and faith. The Weight of Glory is a compilation of addresses delivered by Lewis during World War II, offering deep insights into the hope Christianity has to offer in the midst of immense suffering and uncertainty. To receive your copy of The Weight of Glory by C.S. Lewis, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches.
888-7000-CRI. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.